Coming up on today's Locked On Dodgers, the Dodgers got a big win in Washington. Tyler Anderson went 8 innings and looked really, really good. We'll talk about that. We'll talk a little bit about Edwin Rios and the offense, and we'll get into a little bit of Juan Soto talk. That's what's on tap, so make sure to keep it Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. I want to thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. You can find us wherever you find podcasts and on YouTube for free by simply searching Locked On Dodgers. Make it easy on yourself and subscribe in all those places, and you'll never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time listening or watching, I'm Vince Samperio. That's my co-host, Jeff Snyder. We are both lifelong Dodger fans that have spent some time in the locker room and the press box, but we're not quite insiders. But either way, we're giving you the smart fans perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. Make sure to check us out. Make sure to find us. Make sure to subscribe. And let's talk some Dodgers. All right, Jeff. Dodgers won, starting a new win streak after losing the heartbreaker on Sunday. It was one of those games that helps pad the run differential. The Dodgers dominated from the outset, from inning one. Never looked back. While the offense was good, putting up 10 runs without the benefit of a home run, Tyler Anderson was just a little bit better, outshining them, going 8 shutout innings and being perfect into the 6th inning. And now, looking like a guy that's going to help the Dodgers the rest of the way on, at least as a starting rotation, especially with the news of Heaney and Kershaw taking a little bit longer than we may have expected.
Yeah, when you come into a game against a rookie with a 6.38 ERA, this has to be your goal. Okay, let's knock him around. I mean, the fact that that dude made it almost through 5 innings was impressive on his part. But, yeah, it was just kind of a, like you said, a dominant performance. It wasn't one big inning. They had multiple innings in which they scored multiple runs and just, great offensive outburst. And on the pitching side, exactly what the bullpen needed. They needed some rest. They needed a break. And Tyler Anderson going 8 innings. So the only reliever they had to use was Phil Bickford. Just outstanding and really, really a good way to start this new winning streak off.
Yeah. And for a guy like Anderson, I mean, he went 7 innings. I'm thinking his last time, maybe the start before, went 8 innings this time. Starting to find his way. He's been susceptible to the home run, which has been his main flaw so far this season when he has run into trouble. But other than that, he's been exaggerated if needed. He's got a 3.3 ERA, 6-6 starts. He had a couple of those piggybacks. His whip's at 1.01. I mean, he's just getting it done. Up there in not allowing hard contact, he's in the 90th percentile for average exit velocity, 94th percentile for hard hit percentage. And he doesn't walk too many, gets guys to chase. So, for what we thought coming in, we thought this guy would be a perfect number 5 starter because just based on the fact that he's been durable, based on the fact that, he's a guy that can, we were saying 5 innings, maybe 6 innings occasionally, 4 or less runs for the most part, kind of like around a 4-5 ERA or a quality start type of guy. But he's been better than that for the most part, an occasional blip, which is going to happen. But I mean, he's helping out the Dodgers in a time when they really need help from the starting pitchers.
Yeah, absolutely. If you look at what the Dodgers have gotten from him and Tony Gonsolin the last 2 days, and remember that those two guys started as the tandem 5th starter for this team. I joke that Tyler Anderson looks like a stepdad because he's handsome enough that your mom might want to marry him, but he also looks like a jerk like stepdads are. But he's really taken that to the next level by stepping in when Kershaw and Heaney are down, when your real dad leaves you, you need a stepdad to step in and provide for the family. And that's what America's favorite stepdad, Tyler Anderson, is doing. So that's what we're calling him from now on, America's stepdad. And you couldn't ask for more than what he's giving him right now.
Yeah, and Don Trout talked a little bit about it on the broadcast of just, changing the way he pitched a little bit coming to the Dodgers. And the main way you see that is he's actually probably one of the only guys that's a changeup heavy pitcher at this moment. He's using the changeup more than any other pitch. In the past, he's been fastball, cutter, changeup, in similar order in terms of usage, with the fastball being the majority of the usage. Now he's at changeup, four-seam, cutter, almost all three pretty equal. He's got 160, I think, batters face, changeup wise, 148 four-seam, 132 cutter, and then mixes in the sinker and a couple other pitches here and there. His fastball has actually been getting hit around, but his changeup, which is the pitch he uses the most, batters are hitting 122 against it, with the slugging percentage of 146. So whatever the Dodgers saw in that changeup, it seems to be working. They're using it to their advantage. And then that combined with, the little bit of a stutter in his delivery and everything else, it's been working well for the Dodgers so far.
Yeah, between Anderson, Gonsolin, and Pepiot, Dodgers have some really good changeups on this staff. Obviously Pepiot isn't going to spend a lot of time in the big leagues, at least in the near future, but some good changeups. And, having a guy like Anderson who, he's kind of that grizzled veteran and has that a lot of experience. He's never been a star. He's never been great, but he's really good. He's really effective, and he's kind of found a way to, his fastball is just okay. And he's kind of living proof that you can survive in this league with just an okay fastball, as long as you have at least one dominant secondary pitch and a couple others you can throw for strikes. And so, I like what I'm seeing from Anderson, and specifically the fact that he's doing it with this changeup. I like what that might mean, for helping, Gonsolin isn't, Gonsolin's young, not as young, but, a guy like Pepiot, seeing a guy like Pepiot coming up and seeing Gonsolin and Anderson having success at the big league level with the changeup, I think, even just giving him confidence to throw his changeup, it'll help. And, when he does actually need advice or tips or whatever on how to succeed at the big league level with a good changeup, he's got a couple good guys right there in the rotation with him.
Yeah, and Joe Davis, even joked on the broadcast of the fastball and changeup. Is the fastball his changeup because he's throwing 90 miles an hour fastball? The changeup's coming in around 80 miles an hour, so he's doing it a lot different than a lot of guys these days as well. So that's also partially part of it, I would imagine, where guys are used to seeing 95 even from starters these days. He's coming in around 90, with majority of his pitches coming in around 80, 81 in the changeup. So yeah. It's been fun to watch. Good. And there's no reason to believe he's not going to be this way the rest of the year, with the, like I said, occasional blips where he gets beat by home runs.
Yeah, and yet somewhere Jared Weaver is jealous that Tyler Anderson's changeup is faster than Jared Weaver's fastball was.
That'll never get old. All right, let's talk about Edwin Rios and talk a little bit about offense. But first, let's talk about BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. Not only can you find all the latest odds and trends, but you can find all the latest sports info, sports news, sports scores, all the podcasts from the Locked On Podcast Network. It's all right there. Check it out. They got everything you need for basketball playoffs, MLB scores, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. Make yourself a smarter fan by going to betonline.net and checking everything out. Their continued source for all your sports wagering information. They got live betting, playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website on your laptop and mobile device today. Check it out. Check out all the trends. Check out all the action. And get smarter about sports and get smarter about sports betting. So bet online, where the game starts. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Now podcast, because the Locked On Podcast Network can take you through the season like no other network. And the Locked On Now podcast has recaps of MLB games with analysis from our local experts and our local expert here, Jeff Snyder. It's freely available wherever you get podcasts. All right, Jeff. So the Dodgers scored 10 runs, like I said, with the benefit of, or without having hit a home run. Everyone in the starting lineup had a base hit except one guy who we've talked about and said should have more playing time in general. but you know, not enough playing time to be an everyday type player, but enough playing time to get him in there. This was a second straight start at DH. That's Edwin Rios, and I think there's a reason that we may think Edwin Rios should be kind of where he's at now, maybe an occasional extra start than he was getting before when he was basically not playing at all.
Yeah, you know, I just have this nagging worry that the more he plays, the more he's going to get exposed. Edwin Rios obviously has a ton of power, one of the most powerful hitters in baseball. I just don't know how good an actual hitter he is, you know? And so I think he might be a guy who needs to, I don't know if I'm right, but I feel like he might be a guy who needs to rely on almost the ambush mentality of, you know, coming as a pinch hitter or as a spot start, a guy who they didn't necessarily game plan for. And, you know, you got a relief pitcher who's just, I'm just trying to throw strikes. And, you know, that's the kind of guy Edwin Rios can jump on. I worry that the more playing time he gets, and I see people saying, you know, especially in the Max Muncy discussion, bench Muncy, play Rios. And, you know, my response is always only if every team agrees to only have right-handed pitchers, because Rios shouldn't be getting very many at bats at all against lefties. But even against right-handers, I mean, we saw it, and one game is a small sample. But in this game against the Nationals with a rookie who was struggling, and yet Rios, his first at-bat, he looked really overmatched and never did, you know, come through. And yeah, 0 for 5 games happen. I'm not going to base anything off of one game, but I've always felt this, and I've said it on this show before, that like Edwin Rios, I feel like the more he plays, the less successful he's going to be. It reminds me of the Peter Principle, which is a kind of a semi-sarcastic thing about business, and basically saying that in any hierarchy, people tend to rise to their level of incompetence, because if you're good at your job, you get promoted. And if you're good at that job, you get promoted again. And the only way you stop getting promoted is if you stop being good at your job, but nobody ever gets demoted. And so you end up with a bunch of people in jobs that they're not good at, but they used to be good at other jobs. And I don't want the Peter Principle to happen with Rios, where he's so good at pinch hitting and spot starts that they give him too much playing time and he can't handle that. You know, obviously, maybe there is room, a happy medium for him to get more playing time than he was a couple weeks ago. But these two starts in a row, I think that's enough for me. I don't think I'd want to see him start more than two games in a row. Ideally one game, a spot start and a few pinch hit, you know, try to get him maybe 10 at bats a week, instead of, you know, I think some people are clamoring for, you know, 30 at bats a week. And I think 8 to 10 would be kind of my sweet spot for Edwin Rios.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, if everybody was hitting even up to 80% of what they can do, then this isn't really even the conversation. Edwin Rios, you know, would be what he was for the 2 weeks before the Pirates series, where he only had two at bats or whatever the case was. But, you know, with Max Muncy struggling and with, you know, Justin Turner hitting better, but, you know, still not lights out, I do think the door opened for him to get some more at-bats. And Dave Roberts even said, you know, in a stretch where you're playing a bunch of games in a bunch of days, you're more liable to play the hot hand. And Edwin Rios has been that hot hand. And we've seen him, you know, get rewarded with some more starts and more ABs. But, yeah, I mean, in the long run, it's a matter, because like if he does get a little bit more playing time and he is hitting, then, you know, then theoretically he should remain in that, at least at the very least, getting one or two starts a week. Especially if, like I said, if Muncy never figures it out or somebody else struggles really bad or whatever the case is. But, you know, it is a matter of, we know what he can do and we know what kind of guy he is realistically. And the Dodgers aren't in the position right now to, you know, kind of try things out in terms of giving him a lot more playing time. They are still in a tight-ish divisional race, at least this early in the year. And, you know, it's one of those things where we can say all this, and if you're a fan of the Dodgers or if you're watching the Dodgers, you could say, well, you know, Max Muncy is hitting 156, so what's the difference? Or what's, you know, at least Edwin Rios is hitting home runs occasionally. And yeah, I mean, that's very well a good enough case to have this conversation that we're having now. But you'd have to imagine in the long run, Muncy will figure it out in Rios, you know, maybe, like you said, exposed to better pitching, or once they start figuring out, well, maybe don't throw on fastballs or don't throw on this or don't hang, you know, curveballs to them, whatever the case is. So it's a matter of, I think Dave Roberts is playing it well right now. Like I said, if he's going to be hot and have a hot streak, then get him in there a couple more days than they were before. But once he starts to cool back down and you know, I wouldn't say come back down to earth, because it's not like he was hitting ridiculous. He just was hitting home runs, and we've seen him hit home runs in the 2020 season at that kind of clip. So, you know, it'll get monitored. I don't expect him to be in the everyday lineup anytime soon, barring injury.
Yeah, and realistically, the best version of this Dodgers team has a productive Max Muncy. That's why Muncy's still in the lineup most days. Is be, you know, we saw it in 2017 with Jock Peterson. Dave Roberts constantly uses the phrase, keep him relevant, you know, got to keep getting Jock those at bats. I know he sucks right now. Got to keep good. And they were rewarded, you know, Jock got better. Chris Taylor in 2018, start of the season, he was terrible. And, you know, same thing, keep him relevant. They kept running him out there. People were saying, why does Chris Taylor keep getting playing time? He's awful. He's terrible. And then he got really good, you know? And so that's what's going to happen with Max Muncy too. Like I kind of touched on it yesterday, we don't know if his elbow is healthy. If there are elbow concerns, then yeah, maybe they need to think about an IL stint. But if he's healthy, then yeah, the way to start hitting major league pitching is to keep hitting against major league pitching until you start hitting him. When you're a guy like Max Muncy, and so yeah, I definitely, you know, as it pertains to Rios, I don't want him replacing Muncy in the lineup. Occasionally, sure, and I just noticed the Dodgers are facing two more right-handed starters in this Nationals series, Josiah Gray today and Eric Fetty. Is that the dude's name? Yeah. Something Fetty, Eric Fetty, tomorrow. And so, you know, maybe Rios does get two more starts in this series, because you do have, you know, Muncy could use a day off. Chris Taylor can maybe use the day off at some point. There's ways to get Rios in the lineup. I just worry about trying to get him in there too often.
Yeah, and in the long run, yeah, like I said, that's probably the concern. But right now, I don't see an issue with him. You know, as long as it comes, doesn't come, you know, as long as Justin Turner, Max Muncy, you know, someone's not getting 2 days off in a row because of it. But if it's everyone getting their normal 1 day off and he's the guy that's subbing in and at DH, and, you know, if guys are moving around that, where instead of like Kenji Roberto, whatever, being the guy that gets the start, I think I'm fine with it, because, like I said, at the very least right now, you know, the way he's hitting this season, what does he have, like a home run every 12 at-bats? So at the very least, every 2 to 3 games, in theory, he would have a home run by running into a ball. So we'll take that for now. But like I said, yeah, I don't think he's going to be on the precipice of being an everyday guy anytime soon, unless Max Muncy isn't healthy, ends up going on the IL, or somebody else ends up going on the IL. But the good part is that last year when the season started, we were not having this conversation because he was really bad and then he ended up being hurt. And, you know, if he can be that guy from 2020 where he, you know, does his job when he's called upon, like he's been doing so far this season, then, you know, that's just a big benefit on the Dodgers side for sure.
Yeah. The other challenge with Rios playing too much is he kind of has to be the DH. You know, because Edwin Rios defensively is what people think Max Muncy is defensively. You know, Rios, yeah, you can put him at a position, but especially with Freddie Freeman, you can't hide Rios at first base. And so he's got to play third base. And, you know, he's turned himself into a passable third baseman, but barely. And so he basically has to be the DH, and the Dodgers do use that DH spot to give guys rest. So, yeah, it really is a short-term thing, I think. So, yeah, I am fine with them riding the hot hand right now. But since he needs to be a DH when he is playing, you know, you just can't do that too often.
Yeah. All right. We're going to talk about Juan Soto and just the tiniest of rumors that he could get traded, and with how that means to the Dodgers. And we got a couple questions last week about what a package would look like. So we'll do all the Juan Soto talk coming up. First, let's talk about Athletic Greens. Athletic Greens is a product that I started using every day when they sent us some stuff. And it's the stuff that I would continue to keep using because it actually helps out. You know, it gives you little bit of boost energy in the morning, get you right for the rest of your day. And, you know, there's really no downside to it. And what is Athletic Greens? Well, Athletic Greens are AG1. You're getting 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole foods, source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. Helps out with your gut health, nervous system, immune system, energy, recovery, focus, and aging. I don't know if I feel any younger, but I don't feel any older, so that's a good thing. But yeah, Athletic Greens is comes to you, and you put a scoop of it. You can put a scoop of it in water, scoop of it in a protein shake, scoop of it in whatever you drink in the morning. And that's all you really need to do, and let it do the work. It's lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy free, gluten free. It fits all those buckets. Less than 1 gram of sugar, so you don't got to worry about getting your sugars up. No GMOs, no nasty chemicals, no artificial anything. Still tastes good. Helps you with sleep quality and recovery, mental clarity, alertness. If you struggle with any of those things and you're not a coffee guy like me, which is I'm not a coffee guy, Athletic Greens can help you out in some of those areas. So check it out and head over to athleticgreens.com/MLB network. To reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, just one scoop and a cup of water or whatever drink every day, and that's all you need. To make it easy right now, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is go to athleticgreens.com/MLB network. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/MLB network to take ownership of your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Okay, Jeff. So there was a little bit. Grant Brisby said I'm good at my job with what the Juan Soto like rumor was, because Buster Olney basically said there was like a rival execs said that the Nationals may feel compelled to trade Juan Soto this summer. I think there was an evaluator that said that they feel pressure, whatever the case was. And then on BR Walkoff, I just put Juan Soto traded. Rival execs say the Nationals may feel compelled to trade him. And then from there, from Buster Olney's thing, from that thing, from everywhere else that started picking it up, gained some traction, and every team was wanting to get in on the Juan Soto sweepstakes. We got a few questions last week when we put out a call about what a Juan Soto trade package would look like. So yeah, Jeff, knowing all that, the Dodgers are playing against Juan Soto and the Nationals right now. Yeah, let's just talk about Juan Soto. And you know, obviously I think the rumor's been dispelled a little bit at the very least in terms of trading him this summer. But just looking at where the Nationals are right now and looking at what Juan Soto could theoretically bring, is definitely something that that Washington's going to have to consider, if not this year, then in the offseason and into anything beyond that for sure.
Yeah, it seems like it would be really weird for them to trade him anytime soon, because, I mean, he's 23 years old. He still has a ton of team control left. It doesn't make sense to me. And the rationale that I read was that the learners are going to try to sell the team, and that any potential buyer will want to know, basically, since there's people saying that Juan Soto might command the first $500 million contract or whatever, that new ownership wouldn't want that hanging over the Nats. They'd want that resolved one way or the other if they were going to buy the team. I don't know. Like, trading a guy, it's just as easy for a new ownership to come in and say, okay, well, we know we're not going to pay him, so we'll trade him at some point. And so it doesn't make any sense at all for me for the Nats to trade him. If they did, yeah, he's a guy you make room for. He's a very, very good hitter. And I don't know where he would play on the Dodgers. The Dodgers already have a lot of good players. I guess you could, especially looking forward with Justin Turner getting older, maybe you make Chris Taylor the third baseman and put Soto in left field or something. I don't know. But I think any trade package to get Juan Soto would have to be kind of ridiculous. The Nats would have to be blown away. And it's one of those things. I remember thinking about this with Mike Trout several years ago, when people always, before Trout signed his extension with the Yankees or the Angels. Wow. I don't know why I said Yankees. I know what team Mike Trout's on. I know his parents are named Jeff and Debbie too. I was thinking it's almost impossible to trade for a guy like that, because you have to give up so much. And then if he gets hurt, you just like, it's one thing to make a huge, these five guys for these five guys trade. But when you're saying guys for this one guy, if that one guy gets hurt and you just gave up your whole farm system or a ton of good prospects, it's one guy who you're counting on to stay healthy. Like I don't have any worries about Juan Soto being good as long as he's healthy. I think he's going to hit. I think he's a great hitter, but I think it's almost impossible to trade for a guy like that because it would take so much. And that just increases the risk so much.
Yeah. I mean, it would be fun, obviously, you know, in practicality, maybe it doesn't make the most sense for the, especially for the Dodgers, a team that is already good. You know, would Juan Soto put him in a different stratosphere, at least for this season? Sure, you'd put him in a different stratosphere. And for the next few seasons, I mean, if you have Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, and Juan Soto for your significant future, at least the next 5 years, if considering or, you know, assuming that you lock him down with an extension, then, yeah, you're looking at something that even if you have mid-level guys around him, that's still a team that competes for a playoff spot, especially with seven teams now. But when you look at it, you know, you just look at the top of the Dodgers prospect list and, you know, you already feel like, well, I don't want to give up Cartaya. I don't want to give up Bobby Miller. Realistically, you're going to have to give up at least one of those guys in a theoretical trade for Juan Soto. They probably wouldn't ask, or Cartaya would probably be less for them since they did just pick up Keeper Ruiz, and Bobby Miller would probably be a little bit higher. And it's a matter of, you know, do they want guys in that it has that have already been in the majors, you know, Gavin Lux, Tony Gonsolin, does that open it up for them to be part of a trade package? You know, obviously trading Lux would open up a little bit of a spot for him to play for Juan Soto to be your left fielder and Chris Taylor to mix in the infield a little bit more. You know, and then you look at, you know, Michael Bush, probably a guy you're fine with parting with, Andy Páez, probably a guy you're fine with parting with, but then, you know, Andy Páez and Miguel Vargas maybe in the same boat where you'd be fine with parting with them, but you don't necessarily want to part with them. And then it's a matter of now you're trying to, you know, get Juan Soto with guys a little bit lower down on the prospect list. And, you know, if there's any team that can do it and still be fine after, it would be the Dodgers. And, you know, Juan Soto's a guy that, realistically, for the next 10 years, he's probably going to be a number 2-3-4 hitter and be one of the best hitters in baseball. He's already done so at a very young age. So, I mean, even if you did trade for him and you signed him to just a 10-year extension, you know, he could still make money coming off. He'd be like 33 when he comes off that deal. And, or, no, if it's an extension, maybe 35. But either way, and it's a matter of, do you have an extension worked out before you even make the trade? Like, is that the trade contingent on the extension already being worked out? Because if you trade, let's just say you traded a package of six people, prospects and major league guys that are already major leagues. And then now you're looking at 2.5 years of Juan Soto might be worth it, especially if you get a championship or two out of it. But also, you know, once you get beyond that point, if you don't sign into the extension, then you're looking at you might be looking at a little bit of regret, even with those, if there was those theoretical championships in hand.
Yeah. And his agent is Scott Boras, and players generally don't hire Scott Boras if they are interested in signing an extension before hitting free agency. Boras clients generally like to hit free agency. So I don't think, you know, I do expect Soto to get traded before he hits free agency. I just don't think it would make sense for it to be right now with so much team control left, unless they could get blown away. Because, I mean, the Nats are bad right now. And so, yeah, if they could really get a huge not every day that they keep him, that's probably an exaggeration, but the longer they keep him, the smaller the eventual return when they do trade him. But they probably got to find that happy medium, because right now, like I said, the return would have to be so big that I don't think any team is going to take that risk. Whereas if you trade for him when he has a year and a half left before free agency, at that point, it's the Trey Turner thing, you know, and he's a, you know, probably a better version of Trey Turner, but you know, it's that there's at least comps and frameworks for a trade like that. I don't think there is a trade framework for a trade of a 23-year-old still 3 years away from free agency who might be the best hitter in baseball. I think there's no precedent for that. And because of that, the haul would just have to be so big that no team's going to do it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess if we had to put together a theoretical trade package, I would say it'd be Lux, Gonsolin, one of Kartaya Miller, one of Páez Vargas, and then, you know, maybe one of Jackson, Maddox, Bruns, and someone else of that nature. And then if the Nationals say no, then that's probably where they max out. You give up a lot. You know, some people might say, go ahead and do it. You know, superstars are the way. Some people would say no, but I would imagine that would be kind of like a starting package for a guy like Jose or Juan Soto.
Yeah. And Trey Turner did say that of all the guys from the Nats that he would love to play with again, Juan Soto is at the top of that list. You know, we don't know if Trey Turner is going to be on the Dodgers after this year. That's still up in the air. And, you know, Juan Soto is already helping the Dodgers. He had a questionable play on a Mookie Betts fly ball. It was called a double. I assume roughly around the time that you're listening to this episode that the official scoring change will happen, and that will be marked as an error on Soto, which will unfortunately drop Mookie Betts' OPS back below 900. It's over 900 right at the moment, but once that's changed to an error, it'll drop back below. It'll also steal two RBIs from him. But I can't see any way that's not going to be an error. But, you know, either way, he helped the Dodgers get two extra runs in that 10-1 win. So already a true Dodger.
Yeah, and already has spent time in October at Dodger Stadium. So he knows what that atmosphere is like. You know, maybe he'll be the first guy that makes it like an NBA NFL thing where he demands a trade and works his way to where he wants to go. You know, I don't see that happening because the players don't have that kind of leverage in MLB, but hey, you never know. He might be a guy that wants to start that leverage.
You never know.
Yeah. All right, Jeff, anything else you want to add before we get out of here?
No, I think that's a good one.
All right. Dodgers will be facing old pal, friend of the show, Josiah Gray. He'll be going up against Walker Buehler. One thing real quick on Walker Buehler, he did mention that kind of what we talked about exactly last week is that he needs to get his fastball back to where it was and you know, being effective in order for him to kind of figure things out. But that's up to him, not to us. So good luck to Walker Buehler on that. And Josiah Gray, I hope the Dodgers, maybe they'll score the runs off the – I wouldn't mind Josiah going like six innings with two runs or less, and then we get all the runs off the bullpen. I'm cool with that.
Don't be weak. I know he's been on the show. We love Josiah, but I hope the Dodgers pound him.
Yeah. All right. That's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. If you need something else to listen to after us, check out Locked On MLB with Paul Francis Sullivan, a.k.a. Sully. He brings humor, passion, and a unique perspective on every team and the biggest stories around the league. Follow the number one daily league-wide podcast, Locked On MLB, wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. If you want other ways to find us, we are on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. DMs are open on all those accounts to get a hold of us. You can also get a hold of us via email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or via voicemail text at 323-863-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you're in your car, if you're at home, tell your smart device, play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.